BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And welcome to Crosstalk on VCY America. In light of the fact that Father's Day coming up this Sunday, tomorrow we're going to be having a Father's Day tribute, allowing listeners to call in and share a special tribute in honor of your dad. So today we're going to move up our news roundup day here to cover lots of what's been happening this week. And though we are one day short, or normally we do it on Fridays, wow, the stacks of stories are high. And Lori Gotz has put together a number of stories here for us today, and just want to share these with you today to keep you better informed of what's taking place, not only in our nation, but around the world, and certainly to allow you to be informed that you might sense the urgency of getting out the gospel message in such a time as this. We're going to begin, of course, with world news that certainly impacts us across the United States as well. FoxNews.com has the story of the two U.S., not U.S. tankers, but the two oil tankers that have been damaged in a suspected attack in the Gulf of Oman. The crew evacuated there. This is a U.S. Navy's Bahrain-based Fifth Fleet told Reuters it was assisting two tankers in the Gulf of Oman after receiving distress calls. Details of the incident immediately were unclear, but one of the operators made an unconfirmed report that a torpedo had hit its ship, Reuters reported. Dramatic images and video of the Altair were released by Iranian state media. And timing was especially sensitive as Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe was visiting Iran, is an interlocutor for President Donald Trump to ease tensions between Washington and Tehran. Also, Fox is reporting that the retired four-star General Jack Keane said today that two oil tankers were damaged in the suspected attack in the Gulf of Oman off the coast of Iran because Iranians want the United States to ease off on sanctions imposed on the country. Keane, who is now also chairman of the board for the Institute for the Study of War, made the statements on America's Newsroom just hours after the suspected attacks early Thursday, adding that the sanctions are clearly biting and having significant effect on Iran. The Daily Mail says U.S. officials says it's highly likely that Iran was behind the torpedo attack in the Gulf of Oman, as tanker industry chief warns the oil supply to the entire Western world could be at risk if the straits are deemed unsafe. There is one ship, the Altair, had been loaded at a port in the Gulf with a petroleum product known as naphtha and was on its way to the Far East. Some $30 million was its cargo, according to estimates. And then a shipping broker said the Kukulka, which flies under the flag of Panama, had suffered an explosion from an outside attack, which may have involved a magnetic mine. Well, Western Journal reports that the U.S. dispatched a guided missile destroyer to the Gulf Thursday after two tankers had called in a reported attack. And Business Insider is saying the price of oil surging today after the suspected attack had taken place. Market Watch is reporting could add $7 to the price per barrel. Other analysts are saying those watching gasoline prices stress it's too soon for motorists to be alarmed about a surge in pump prices. Breitbart tells us that another day, another anti-U.S. threat from Tehran. Iran's foreign minister warned on Monday that America cannot expect to stay safe in any economic war against the Islamic Republic. Turning our attention to another nation, Mexico. Western Journal reports that Mexico finally draws a line, slaps the caravan organizers with trafficking charges in a move that was not likely part of a deal with Washington. Authorities in Mexico have arrested caravan organizers for allegedly taking money to illegally transport immigrants. Two were arrested within an hour of each other last week in different parts of Mexico. And they were flown to a court hearing on charges that they illegally transported immigrants for money, Reuters reported. That could mark a sea change in Mexico's handling of the migrants coming through the country and into the United States. No matter how you slice it, Western Journal says it is a win for President Trump. The Washington Examiner says Mexican military deployed throughout the country as part of the Mexican president's vow to do more to apprehend migrants headed to the U.S. have officially begun targeting foreigners who have hitched rides aboard a freight train known as the Beast to get to the U.S.-Mexico border, local media reported Sunday. The operation marked the first of its kind since the Mexican president and U.S. president reached a deal late on Friday. A column by Beth Bauman of townhall.com, very interesting. Whereas the TSA, you know how they check your papers and do the pat-downs and every T has to be crossed, every I dotted? Well, the TSA is allowing illegal aliens to fly on commercial flights once they're released from ICE and or Border Patrol, and they're allowed to board the flights despite not having one of the 15 approved forms of identification. Americans, make sure you have your papers. If you're illegal, you don't need them. From the newamerican.com, as bad as the illegal alien tsunami at the border is now, it might get worse. They say much worse. The Democratic Republic of Congo, which where some of the illegals are now from, is suffering a major outbreak of Ebola virus. Nearly 1,500 are dead. Now that virus, they're saying, could be here. On June 8th, Breitbart reported that border authorities had dropped a possible virus bomb into San Antonio, Texas, which has already received a massive dose of illegal Central Americans. San Antonio officials scrambled this week to find French-speaking volunteers to help with hundreds of Congolese migrants arriving in the Alamo City. The interim assistant city manager, Dr. Colleen Bridger, told Ken 5 after a group of 350 Congolese migrants arrived in the city unexpectedly, saying, "We didn't get a heads up." From the Daily Caller, former GOP Virginia Attorney General Ken Guccinelli officially became leading the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services on Monday, making him now a key player in the Trump administration's immigration agenda. From FoxNews.com, in a stance to distance itself from President Trump's administration, California is set to become the first state in the country to pay for tens of thousands of illegal immigrants to have full health benefits. Under agreement between Governor Gavin Newsom and Democrats in the state legislature, low-income adults between the ages of 19 and 25 living in California illegally will be eligible for California's Medicaid program known as Medi-Cal. The deal emerged as part of a broader $213 billion budget. The plan would take effect in January 2020, the Sacramento Bee reported. What do you think about that? Come to this country illegally? You are guaranteed full health benefits. The National Review reports Donald Trump asserts executive privilege over documents related to citizenship census question. President Trump Wednesday asserted that privilege to block lawmakers from accessing documents related to his administration's plan to include a citizenship question on the 2020 census. The Democratic leadership, they are outraged, absolutely outraged that the Trump administration would dare ask on the U.S. census whether or not the recipient or the person filling it out is a U.S. citizen. From Liberty Counsel, the Supreme Court announced this week that it will not take up a legal dispute by atheist groups which sought to remove the words "In God We Trust" from U.S. currency. Michael Newdow, an activist who filed the lawsuit on behalf of a group of atheists, argued that the law to inscribe the nation's motto on U.S. money was a violation of the First Amendment's Establishment Clause, which prohibits Congress from establishing a national religion. Well, the court has declined to take up their case. From the Daily Caller, the Supreme Court also rejected a challenge Monday to the indefinite detention of enemy combatants at the Gitmo Bay prison camp in Cuba, as one justice warned that similar disputes will inevitably return to the high court. Monday's case involved a Yemeni national who had been held at Gitmo since January of 2002. He was detained under the 2001 authorization for the use of military force, says that the government's right to hold him expired with the end of combat operations in Afghanistan. Well, the court didn't give reason for rejecting his petition, as is typical for orders of this nature. But no doubt those issues will come back before the court once again. From KETV, out of Council Bluffs, Iowa area, President Donald Trump came to Council Bluffs to praise farmers, pledged to continue fighting for them. The president announced year-round sales of E15 fuel. He also signed an executive order to streamline the biotechnology process as well. From Breitbart News, a longtime political antagonist, Representative Jerry Nadler, got a surprise call from President Trump to wish him well during a sudden hospital stay. It was May 24th. Nadler swooned, growing faint and slumping forward in his seat at an event that prompted traffic speed cameras in the Manhattan Bureau of New York City. The emergency, that was not prompting, but rather promoting. The meeting was to promote the traffic speed cameras. Emergency services were alerted. He was taken off to the hospital as a precaution. But during his stay, the president called the hospital from his flight to Japan to wish him a swift recovery and reportedly praised the representative for being tough. He also asked if there was anything more he could do. Let's go to the Washington Free Beacon. Representative Ilhan Omar of Minnesota, guess what? She's going to have to repay thousands after the Minnesota Campaign Finance Board found that she filed tax returns claiming she was married to one man when she was married to another. Omar had agreed to pay $3,500 and a $500 fine amid the investigation into allegations that she misused campaign funds. That's reported by CBS in Minnesota. She's been the subject to lots of controversy. Let's see. Victoria Marshall at townhall.com. Governor of Texas Greg Abbott tweeted a video of himself Sunday signing a law protecting free speech on college campuses. In the video, he said some colleges are banning free speech on their campuses. Well, no more, because I'm about to sign a law that protects free speech. SB 18, the bill he signed, establishes that common outdoor areas of a university are to be considered as public forums. It also protects student organizations from being denied university services based on the organization's viewpoint. And that's what so often has happened. If you are a conservative group, sorry, you can't have the funds that other liberal clubs get here in our university. From LifeSiteNews.com, Twitter Square CEO Jack Dorsey joined more than 180 other U.S. CEOs in the campaign organized in part by abortion giant Planned Parenthood to declare that newly enacted abortion restrictions in various states go against the values of their companies, and they said that they're bad for business. Abortion claims that the lives of an estimated 880,000 human beings every year in the U.S. alone, and the letter said they represent an estimated 108,000 workers. That means for every worker represented by the letter, there are 8 preborn babies who've been destroyed by abortion. This has been the brainchild of Planned Parenthood. The letter comes atop a similar full-page ad in the New York Times that asserted that abortion is an essential human right. The ad talked about it goes against our values, and they said that restricting abortion, they said, is bad for business. So that's why the Apostle Paul said that the love of money is the root of all evil, all kinds of evil. Back in just a minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America, and having a Thursday news roundup today. Thanks for listening.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, many are claiming that birds are modern-day dinosaurs. Can this be true?
No, it's not, Chris. Evolutionists must have an evolutionary story that they can tell people, and this is the one that they've chosen to use this decade. But the story isn't even consistent with the facts. Even given the evolutionary interpretation of the dates of the fossils, it doesn't fit. For instance, the first bird in the fossil record is dated by evolutionary standards to be before the dinosaurs, not after. And birds are so different from dinosaurs, it simply is impossible to think that a marvelously designed bird could come from a dinosaur. They are very different. The birds were created on day 5 of creation week and dinosaurs on day 6, just like it says back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Having a news roundup day here on Crosstalk on VCY America. Again, Lord willing, tomorrow we'll be having our Father's Day tribute 2019. And continuing on with some of the news going on across the nation here, out of the state of Illinois, a very, very, very troubling story. As WND.com put it, it was Virginia Governor Ralph Northam who recently suggested that infanticide was a reasonable option these days. Well, now the state of Illinois has gone even further. The state's lawmakers have repealed its ban on partial birth abortion, set up a path to abolish parental notification, allowed anyone, not just licensed facilities, to do abortion, authorized non-doctors to do procedures, created a process for forcing doctors to perform abortions, and specifically stated that the unborn have no rights. The plan signed by Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker. Peter Breen, who is senior counsel for Thomas More Society, said this is easily the most expansive abortion law in the United States. He went on to say this law is the most radical sweeping pro-abortion measure in America, makes Illinois an abortion destination for the country. Five shocking facts about this new law, and I just want to go through those again. Number one, all licensing requirements for abortion clinics are abolished. Health and safety inspections ended. Despite those inspections shutting down numerous dirty abortion clinics in recent years, no more. Also, dismemberment abortions of preemie babies who feel pain without anesthesia, they are now legalized. Every private health insurance policy, including those for small churches and religious nonprofits, must pay for elective chemical and surgical abortions. Every unborn child up to and even during birth will now have no legal rights in Illinois, and abortion labeled a fundamental right protected to a greater degree than free speech and other First Amendment rights. I mean, this thing is outrageous. Susan B. Anthony List pointed out that the plan also drops requirements that abortion data be reported, removes the requirement to investigate deaths of mothers during abortion, creates a fundamental right to abortion anytime, anywhere, and forces health insurance plans, yes, even those including for religious groups, to cover the procedures. But Governor Pritzker boasted of his action, saying this, quote, "If you believe in standing for women's fundamental rights, Illinois is a beacon of hope in the heart of this nation." Combination of stories here from WND.com and from CBN.com. Let's go to LifeNews.com. Vermont Governor Phil Scott, Republican governor, signed a radical pro-abortion bill into law Monday, allowing unborn babies to be aborted for any reason up to birth. It affirms legalized abortions in Vermont, protecting reproductive rights and ensuring those decisions remain between a woman and her health care provider, reported WAMC Public Radio. Vermont already is one of the few states that allows unrestricted abortions up to birth. This bill now codifies it right into state law. Also from LifeNews.com, St. Louis Judge Michael Stelzer has granted a preliminary injunction to Reproductive Health Services Planned Parenthood, the last abortion facility in Missouri. And a statement that is being made said, "We are disappointed that this judge decided to prevent the DHSS from enforcing the laws and regulations of Missouri that were enacted to protect women from harm." This said by Troy Newman of Operation Rescue. "With the help of local activists, we have documented at least 74 women who have suffered harm at this Planned Parenthood and were transported to local hospitals by ambulance, but the judge has refused to shut down the Planned Parenthood clinic. It was supposed to have closed May 31st. Life News also reporting that Texas Governor Greg Abbott signed a pro-life bill that would ban local governments from funding Planned Parenthood, which kills over 330,000 unborn babies in abortions every year, they report. Abbott signed SB 22, the No Taxpayer Dollars to Abortion Providers Act, which protects taxpayers from subsidizing abortion companies and their affiliates throughout the state and local tax dollars. The measure takes effect on September 1st. Also from Life News, on a somewhat related story here, members of a Texas city council declared their home to be a sanctuary city for the unborn. The vote was held Tuesday. It was a unanimous vote. KETK News reports leaders of Wascom, that's an eastern Texas city, said that pro-life ordinance is a preventative measure that they hope will keep abortion businesses out of their area. They're not far from the border of Louisiana, which recently passed a law banning abortions after the heartbeat is detected. City leaders said they do not want abortion businesses to try open in their city to attract women from across the border, so they voted to become a sanctuary city for the unborn. Also from LifeNews.com, Planned Parenthood's landlord in Fayetteville, Arkansas, was not a fan of 40 Days for Life. From baseless police calls to turning the sprinklers on vigil participants, he did whatever he could to make it difficult for the volunteers. But Sheila, the local campaign leader, was frustrated and angry, said, "I had a prayer team dedicated to the landlord. Slowly things began to change. They were stunned when he welcomed a mobile ultrasound unit to park on the property, and then he made a decision not to renew Planned Parenthood's lease. Doesn't have another tenant lined up to replace Planned Parenthood, but the lease now expired to expire this summer." From Life Site News, troubling story. It's a couple in Australia suing an ultrasound clinic and their doctor over their daughter's birth, claiming they would have undergone an abortion had they known in advance about the diagnosis of Down syndrome. The Supreme Court has given them extra time to prepare their case in a horrifying example of yet another wrongful birth claim. In 2014, the parents visited a clinic to determine if their baby had any chromosomal abnormalities and were told that the risk were in the low range, so further testing was not necessary. Well, 2015, their baby was born with Down syndrome and spent a few weeks in the NICU. The child's parents are now suing for child rearing and maintenance costs, as well as for loss of future earnings while caring for a child with a disability. According to Nine News, with the mother also suing for personal injury. The Daily Caller reports that the manager of a small-town Michigan hotel offering a free room for women looking to get abortions, particularly from states that have recently restricted or banned access. Shelley O'Brien, the manager of the Yale Hotel in Yale, Michigan, posted the offer on Facebook in May. It offers several free nights at the hotel, plus a transportation service to and from the abortion for women in states that have recently made measures to ban abortion. Teen Vogue, you familiar with the publication? This is from LifeNews.com. Teen Vogue published another article this week promoting abortions to young, impressionable girls. The Blaze reports that the magazine ran a guide instructing young girls on how to get an abortion without their parents' knowledge or consent. Having access to abortion should be your right, regardless of your parents' belief. The writer wrote for the magazine. Then she explained how any teen can abort her unborn baby without telling the parents. Also from LifeNews.com, Planned Parenthood sues to overturn the Trump rule and force Christian doctors to do abortions. Yeah, Planned Parenthood has filed a lawsuit to overturn the pro-life regulations from the Trump administration that took effect in May. It could ultimately force doctors and nurses to kill babies in abortions or refer women to abortion practitioners who will. And also from the same news source, Nancy Pelosi and House Democrats continue to refuse a request to allow a vote on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act that would stop infanticide and provide medical care and treatment for babies who survive abortions. House Democrats refuse to vote on this bill now for the 55th time this session. You a fan of Pinterest? Use Pinterest? Well, from the Western Journal, Pinterest has banned liveaction.org. It's a well-known pro-life website, but banned them from its platform after marking links to the site, calling it pornography. Live Action posted to its Twitter account a screenshot of a notice from Pinterest support claiming that Live Action's account was permanently suspended. Why? Because its content went against our policies on misinformation. live action, takes a stand for life, denounces abortion, does not set well with Pinterest. From LifeNews.com, Maine will be the ninth jurisdiction in the U.S. to legalize the life-destroying procedure of assisted suicide. That's because Governor Janet Mills, Democratic governor there, signed the bill into law. New Jersey passed a similar law in April. Assisted suicide also legal in California, Colorado, Hawaii, Oregon, Washington, Vermont, and D.C. The bill narrowly passed the Maine legislature with the Senate voting 19-16 Tuesday. The House voted on Monday. That vote was 73-72. Yes, one vote makes a difference. The legislation also allows doctors to prescribe lethal drugs to patients diagnosed with a terminal illness and also claims that the practice is not suicide. No, we just changed the definition. Not suicide any longer. We call it death with dignity. LifeNews.com, despite a concerted effort by euthanasia advocates, the American Medical Association has voted to retain its long-standing opposition to assisted suicide. That's good news. Vote was 65-35, a huge margin of doctors voting to continue treating patients and not killing them. Well, Jack Phillips back in the news. Yes, he's the baker. You've heard him before. He was the one who was charged and hauled all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, trying to force him to make a wedding cake for a so-called same-sex wedding. He refused. The Supreme Court upheld his rights. And now, here we have from the Christian Post, Jack Baker back in the news, facing a third lawsuit over his refusal on religious grounds to make certain cakes. A transgender woman, Autumn Scardina, filed a second lawsuit against Phillips last Wednesday in district court for the city and county of Denver, Colorado. In the new lawsuit, claimed that Phillips violated Colorado's Anti-Discrimination Act and Consumer Protection Act by refusing to bake what the plaintiff labeled as a birthday cake. Well, the birthday cake as described in the lawsuit, which was to be blue on the outside and pink on the inside, was supposed to symbolize Scardina's transition from male to female. Facing now a third lawsuit. The Cartoon Network. Your kids watch the Cartoon Network? Well, the Cartoon Network, this is from CNSNews.com, which broadcasts mostly children's programs, expressed a happy pride to all of our LGBTQ plus fans in a tweet for June Pride Month and encouraged the young homosexuals to stand proud all year long. In the June 2nd tweet, the Cartoon Network, which is owned by Warner Brothers Entertainment, states, quote, "We want to wish everyone a happy pride," and encourages all of our LGBTQ plus fans to stand proud all year long. The tweet then includes heart, unicorn, gay rainbow emojis, and hashtag pride, hashtag happy pride, hashtag power puffy yourself, hashtag pride month, and hashtag power puff girls. Yeah, children are being targeted. We've done a program fully on that issue not long ago, and we talked about Drag Queen Story Hour, in which they have talked about grooming the next generation. And now there's a new children's book that's come out, NBCNews.com tells of it, which a children's book telling of the 1969 Stonewall Uprising, the history of the Stonewall Inn. Jamie Kristoff has illustrated many books, but they say this is really quite the book here. A gay artist, Kristoff, said, "I really gave it my all." It's the book's release is time to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the uprising. If there was needed, that kids need to know about it in LGBTQ history, it would be Stonewall. So kids ages 5 to 10 can read it, understand more about the history of our community, he said. He decided to tell the story from the perspective of the building itself. He said it would have been an honor to be part of a growing canon of children's books helping to tell the stories of notable LGBTQ individuals and events. Parents could expect to have more questions about Stonewall as a result. Back in a minute.
The Bible follows the rise and fall of kingdoms and governments, covers millennia of ancient history, and reveals God's plan for humanity through powerful accounts that still speak to us today. In the hardcover book, Charting the Bible Chronologically, authors Tommy Ice and Ed Heinzen have teamed up to provide readers a panoramic view of the events recorded in Scripture, all laid out in chronological order. This book takes you from the words "in the beginning" all the way to the New Jerusalem. With 40-plus full-color charts, you will see timelines of biblical history, pre-flood genealogy, Israel, the life of Christ, and a master fold-out chart of the entire Bible. This is a vital resource for new believers and Bible scholars alike, providing a visual guide to God's unfolding plan. Charting the Bible Chronologically is available for a donation of $25 or more to VCY. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
It's a news roundup day here on Crosstalk, and let me just share a few more stories and we'll open up some phone lines if you'd like to comment on these stories. As we mentioned, this new children's book out geared for young readers ages 5 to 10, so they have a homosexual viewpoint on Stonewall. Also, we have, by the way, let me just mention again, in the state of Wisconsin that the pride flag, the LGBT pride flag, still flying over the Wisconsin state capitol. And if you've contacted the governor once, you may want to do it again to let him know your views on this. Wisconsin Family Council has also launched a petition drive, first of all, to contact the governor's office of Wisconsin, Tony Evers. Matter of fact, this is amazing. The governor has launched a petition drive himself to drum up support for this horrible decision that he made, trying to get people to sign on. Matter of fact, it's not one, but about so many hours later, twice he sent out an email. Did you get that first one? Trying to get people to sign on, saying, yes, we support the LGBT pride flag flying over the state capitol. Well, I'm thankful Wisconsin Family Council has launched a petition drive in opposition to this. And you can see their petition. I think they're wrapping up all signatures by the middle part of this next week. But you can see the petition itself at their website, wifamilycouncil.org, wifamilycouncil.org, and to contact Governor Tony Evers on this matter. Yeah, you may say, I called a couple days ago. Folks, it's still flying. You may need to call a second time or a third or a fourth. The number to Madison, to his office, is 608-266-1212. 608-266-1212. He plans to fly that pride flag above the Wisconsin State Capitol, the first ever in the history of this state, up until sunset on June the 30th. So every day it flies, folks, you have the right to simply call and express your view on it. 608-266-1212, and to see the petition that Wisconsin Family Council has put together, you can go to wifamilycouncil.org. We understand that even in response to that, there's a group of Christian Leaders Coalition that's holding a prayer in March in protest over what's happening at the state capitol next Wednesday, Wednesday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. Pink News is reporting that the Italian airline Air Italy will now allow passengers to choose a non-binary gender category when booking flights, which is the first time passengers in Europe have had this choice. United Airlines became the first U.S. airline to provide a non-binary gender option in March of this year. Air Italy passengers will now be able to select X when asked if they are gender, M, F, or X. Well, the gender-neutral title mix, MX, has also been added to the drop-down list of titles. We told you about this rugby player who posted on social media that drunks and homosexuals, adulterers, liars, and others, you know, cannot enter the kingdom of God. Well, there's been action taken against him, and now he has launched legal action against Rugby Australia after his playing contract was terminated over his Instagram post quoting the Bible. Legal representatives for him have confirmed that they filed an application to the Australian Fair Work Commission seeking a declaration that his employment was unlawfully terminated because of his religion. First time ever at the United Nations – first time ever at the UN, India has voted with Israel against the terror-linked group. Pamela Geller had the story. For the first time ever, India voted last week with Israel at the UN against granting observer status to a Palestinian human rights organization named Shahed. The motion at the UN Economic and Social Council was rejected on June 6 by a 28-14 vote. Thanks went out to India from Israel as a result. From Jihad Watch, the American and Afghan governments have warned that the Islamic State is dramatically expanding its footprint in Afghanistan and planning to use it as a base for attacks on Western countries, including the United States. The Islamic State, despite losing territory in Syria and Iraq, have long called for attacks on Western nations globally. And, well, I guess what does the Quran say? Kill them wherever you find them. And it's infiltrated all Western countries while leftists fall for the Islamophobia trap, Robert Spencer writes. And very interesting indeed. Matter of fact, he also reports that the major Taliban sanctuary and weapons storage area was found in a mosque. Then the story is coming out of Sri Lanka as well. A Muslim doctor facing charges that he sterilized non-Muslim women who are undergoing a variety of primary surgeries without asking their permission, even notifying them. More than 50 women have made complaints regarding the doctor, Dr. Sayabdeen Mohammed Safi. Interesting story from Fox News. Employers in Nevada soon will no longer be able to turn down job applicants who test positive for traces of marijuana during drug screenings. Lawmakers approved a bill last week that made Nevada the first state to prohibit employers from discriminating against prospective employees for marijuana use in a state where recreational pot is legal. The new law is to take effect on January 1. Let me just share this story, and then we'll let me open lines right now, and I'll share the story as you're calling here. Our number, 800-733-9829. If you'd like to call, maybe comment on some of these stories or other current event matters going on. Again, our number, 1-800-733-9829. A troubling story out of WND.com. This is a discrimination charge has been filed with California's Department of Fair Employment and Housing over the eviction of an 85-year-old woman from her apartment. She was told it was because of her religious activity. What happened to our client, Diana Martin, was wrong on many levels, said Matthew McReynolds, a lawyer with the Pacific Justice Institute. No one should be evicted because of their, based on their religious expression, but especially not an elderly great-grandmother, he said. She's 85 years old, folks. She's been living for nearly 14 years in the complex, promoted as a senior living center when she was shocked by a call from the owner. She was told she was evicted because of her religious expression and age, the legal team explained. Owner John Draxler, who also is the city's vice mayor, took the action even though Martin still had months remaining on her year-to-year lease and her rent was fully paid, the Pacific Justice Institute said. But Draxler cited her religious activities. She was sharing her faith and she offered to pray for people. That was one of the reasons why she needed to find a new home. She shared her faith, and she offered to pray for people, 85 years old. Drexler knew that she was recovering from strokes and a heart attack when she began to cry, protesting that it was winter and had no children living nearby. He responded, that was not his problem, said Pacific Justice Institute. 85 years old, booted from her home. Why? Because she shared her faith, and she offered to pray for people. Let's go to the phone lines. Mark in Monroe, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yeah, my comment is pertains to Trump wishing Jared Nadler good health in this situation. The Bible says repay evil with good. You know, it's like heaping hot coals on her head. I just wonder, and again, I'm not wishing evil on this guy, but just the fact that if he were to hear something like that, based on everything that he's done anti-Trump-wise, would almost be too much of a shock for his present health.
Hmm.
That's okay. My comment.
Thank you, Mark.
Bye.
George is calling from Olney, Illinois. You're on the air, George.
Yes, I'm calling from Illinois, and as far as if it's a new law that you can force anybody to perform an abortion, I think that the governor should perform the first abortion and that's so sad, because if he did it firsthand, he would realize he is killing a human being.
Yes, yes. George, this is so egregious. I mean, the outline of what this new law entails, it is the most pro-killing bill we have that's been passed into law across this nation.
Yeah, we're ahead of California.
Yeah, and New York and Virginia and other places, too. Sad day. Thank you, George.
God bless America.
Chris in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Hi, there's a very simple solution to these problems with these laws. Just simply go back to the Declaration of Independence, which puts forth that we should govern ourselves by principle and not law. That's the original intent.
Thank you, Chris, for your thoughts. Greg in Cincinnati, Ohio, you're on the air.
Sir, Jim, we have a situation in Cincinnati where they voted to decriminalize the so-called conservative stations.
It is troubling indeed to see that. It is happening in numerous states. Illinois is another state that just passed decriminalization of it, and it's very troubling indeed. We've done programs on the harmful effects of marijuana. Thank you, Greg, for bringing that to our attention. Our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. William in East Troy, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Brother Jim, God put a rainbow in the sky as a covenant that he would never flood the earth, as a promise that he is a compassionate, merciful God. But yet there is a price for sin. And our governor, Tony Evers, has flown a rainbow flag over Wisconsin's capital. I would hope that Christians could get active in proclaiming the gospel by showing people that the rainbow is God's covenant, and it was his design first. And we should use that as a way to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know a lot of people want to cower when it comes to homosexuality and things of that nature, but we've been given a command to go into all the world. So when you bring up these news stories, they are grievous, and it's despicable and disgusting. But on the flip side, I think we need to use it to give God the glory and to bring glory to the Lord Jesus' name and help people see their need of the Savior as what he's done in our own lives.
Amen.
So I just want to thank you for that today and keep up the great work. God bless.
Thank you, William. Let's go to Las Cruces, New Mexico. Dave, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. I have a suggestion that all the legislators that legislate laws about abortion or pro-life, they should see the movie Unplanned and sign off on it.
It's been that which is really, I mean, it tells a story that has not really come out in film before, and in such a way, dramatic way, is what that film has. And I know that there have been many who have inquired about quitting the abortion industry after seeing that.
Well, the girl that actually wrote the story that the movie was based on was the top person in a Planned Parenthood center.
Yeah.
And when she actually saw the ultrasound of a child being removed, and that's where the story started. So there's a lot of people leaving the abortion industry, but the legislators, I'm sure that most of them have no idea what they're doing.
Thanks for the call here.
You bet.
Thank you, Dave. Let's go to Chattanooga, Tennessee. Dennis, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Thank you for taking my call. This is, all these things we're hearing on Crosstalk are truly grievous to our heart.
Yes.
And it's just a horrible, horrific situation that we're living through in our country right now. And all I want to say is, where are our praying Christians? We must pray. We must take these matters very seriously, and every day we should pray over these issues. We may not get them all, but we'll remember some of them, and we need to continue to listen to Crosstalk to hear the truth about these things. So God forgive America.
Yeah.
Forgive America. Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis. Thank you for your call here. Indeed. Indeed. Thank you for that reminder of the necessity of praying for this nation. Back in just a minute. Have a couple open lines here. 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Are we watching the stage being set for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled? I think we are in many ways. Revelation 17, 12 through 13 declares the 10 horns, which you saw, are 10 kings. Well, pretty clear who that is, right? 10 kings, 10 leaders. I think they're going to be presidents of various unions. And it says that they will receive kingdoms, and then they will give their power to the Antichrist, the beast. I believe what we're talking about here is the world divided into 10 regions. Now, I've been speaking and writing and talking about this for years. But folks, we're watching it come about fast. Did you know that many of the globalist and European organizations have already divided the world into 10 regions? The North American Union, Central America and Caribbean, South America, Western Europe, Eastern Europe and Central Asia, Mediterranean, Middle East, Africa, Northeast and South Africa, Southeast Asia, Australia, and Pacific. 10 regions ready for 10 leaders to give their power to the beast.
Just before we get back to the phone lines here, an interesting story that came forth from the Daily Wire about the National Park Service. Their post that they've been having to change out at Glacier National Park. They've been removing signs that have been warning visitors that they should take their selfies with the glacier now since it would be gone by 2020, a victim of climate change. That's what the signs were saying. Well, these signs were installed during the Obama administration, warning tourists that the glaciers will all but be gone by the year 2020. Well, they've since been replaced by signs that claim climate change is still eroding the glaciers bit by bit, but the researchers can't make an accurate prediction about when, precisely, the glaciers of Glacier National Park will disappear. When they completely disappear, however, will depend on how and when we act, the sign now reads. Well, according to the United States Geological Survey, the caller discovered that the size of the glaciers in any given year depend on the national park's microclimate and not the climate as a whole. The glaciers melt and freeze at different rates every year, depending on weather and snowfall, and while computer models might have once predicted that they'd all but melt away by 2020, heavier snowfall has been a boon, increasing the glacier's overall size steadily since 2009. In 2019, it seems the glacier actually grew even more thanks to a record-breaking Montana snowfall stubbornly refusing to come into compliance with the Obama administration's dire predictions. I think they should have left those signs up there for people to laugh at years down the road, saying that these glaciers would be gone by the year 2020, a victim of climate change. I guess they could put a new sign underneath that the man-made global climate change is a hoax. Let's go to Plymouth, Minnesota, and Mike is calling. Mike, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I'm from the Twin Cities, obviously. We don't get your programs down there. You guys, I just wanted to say you all are a blessing. Keep doing what you do. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Mike. Appreciate the call here. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Twin Falls, Idaho. Alan, you're on the air.
Hey, Jim, thank you for what you do. I don't really know where to go with all this new information. It can certainly be grievous. It is. I just wanted to thank you in particular, Jim, because you see a great deal more than we're seeing in here, and you're standing faithful. I'm really grateful for what you do. I pray God bless you. Thank you a bunch, Jim.
God bless you, Alan. Thank you for the call. And indeed, one of the purposes of this program is to wake us up what is going on in this world today. We're told that we are salt, the salt of the earth, the light of the world. But if we hide our light, it's good for nothing. If our salt is not salty, it's just to be thrown out in the road, trodden under the foot of men. And so we need to let our light shine and certainly to be the salt of the earth here as well. Stories are troubling indeed, but like as a watchman on the wall, we sound the alarm and certainly give warning that danger is around us. And as a result of the perilous times in which we live, we need to proclaim biblical truth. Let's go to Sharon, who is calling in from Milwaukee. Sharon, you're on the air.
Hey, hi, Jim. Thanks for taking my call. First off, I just want to reassure a lot of your callers that there are Christians out there that do stand up and do call and do go,
and
I'm one of them. I called Governor Evers' office regarding the rainbow flag. I called Representative Scott Allen, who called him out on it. I do witness at Walmart, they wear the little rainbow flag pin. They have no clue what it means. They're just going with the flow. So there are people out there like myself who call and go, and I'll tell you something, it's really an uphill battle to get anyone to go with me. And it seems like the calling, it just seems like it just doesn't do any good. But rest assured, there are people out there that will call them out on things, and I'm one of them.
Great. Well, God bless you, Sharon, because one thing it does do, it lets them know that people are watching their actions and show that they're accountable. Now, they may dig their heels in and fight with more intensity, even as the governor is now put out his own petition drive to try and drum up support for his decision, but he knows that people are watching, and I believe that his decision was motivated because of all the adverse phone calls coming to his office.
Well, I hope so. It's a bad situation. It doesn't belong there. Even rainbow belongs to God.
Yeah. Thank you. Time to take it back, isn't it? Yeah. Matter of fact, and they're void of one color. The rainbow that God provided for us has seven colors, and the rainbow of the rainbow flag, the pride flag, has six. It's even a mocking, an imitation of that which God has promised. So technically it's not even a rainbow flag. It is because it's void of one of the colors, but it is certainly that which is a multicolored flag. And that is what's being flown over the state capitol as being a pride flag. Again, the governor's number. And keep in mind, every day that flag flies, you have opportunity to call the governor to let him know of your objection. And the governor's office number is 608-266-1212. 608-266-1212. And also just a reminder that Wisconsin Family Council has launched their own petition drive in opposition to this flag flying. You can get info at wifamilycouncil.org. Want to just also share one other story with you today here that came out from Pamela Geller. As she quotes from the Express, reporters working for the corporation are to be effectively banned from using or quoting a source or somebody else using the word of terror. The outlet will no longer use the words terror attack to describe the appalling events that took place at locations like at London Bridge or the Manchester Arena. Despite the corporation using the phrases at the time of the attack, BBC journalists will now refer to terror attacks by location and the methods used when atrocities were carried out. Reporters would now describe the events as the London Bridge van attack or Manchester area bomb attack. But the new rules have sparked rage with experts and members of parliament accusing the BBC of failing in its public duties. No longer can you call it a terror attack, let alone an Islamic terror attack. You see, the age of political correctness is there. But I'll tell you this, folks, truth is still truth, isn't it? And we know the God of truth. We know the source of truth. Scripture says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So amidst all the fake news of our time and amidst all the issues going on and the imitations that are taking place, keep in mind that God's word stands. So let's live by it. Let's read it. Let's obey it. Our time is gone. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk. Lord willing, tomorrow we'll have our Father's Day tribute, and trust you'll be able to call in for that broadcast. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.